Blog Talk Radio.
The light that you shine can't be seen. Won't you tell me he's a happy baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a lot, and the light that you shine can't be seen? So much a man can tell me, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. To me you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Now won't you tell me he's a healthy baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a lot, and the light that you shine can't be seen.
Song. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Hump Day. This is The Art of Seduction, and we are a group on Late Night Poets or on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets, and we have anthologies available to purchase on that site. So feel free to check those out, as these shows are supported by those books. So feel free to check those out. And tonight's show is based on a contest that I ran with Lee Wild Dove called Your Kiss Is Your Signature, hence the opening song. Great song, that is. And, yeah, so that's great. Let me check the studio real quick here. Bobby!
Hello.
How are you doing? Hi.
I'm sorry I missed your show once. I'm fine, thank you. I was coming back from a little holiday over the weekend, a long weekend, so I missed your show on Monday.
Oh, that's okay. Appreciate you, Bobby. I appreciate you.
I didn't want to miss this one today. Yeah. And I tossed something into the pile. You've seen it before, but I wanted to throw something in there, so.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, so I'm going to put the first link, and I'll give this a read. This is by Marvin Goldfarb. And it's called Kiss Me, Darling. Kiss me. Kiss me as if I were the if it were the last time. Kiss me. Kiss me while we are still in our prime. Kiss me. Kiss me. That's no crime. I love you with all my passion and all my rhythm and rhyme. That was a beautiful little brevity. I liked it. What did you think of it, Bobby?
It's sweet. Very simple and to the point. And nicely said.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I'm going to grab the next link here. Okay, posting it up, Bobby. Whenever you're ready, can you give that a read? Thank you.
I certainly can. You know I live for that request.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and it's coming up. Crazy Fool by Repercussionist. Great name. Crazy Fool. Some say I've heard I have a way with words. Okay, it may be true. But I'd rather have my way with women, especially with you. There are those tell me you're too hard to please. It comes as no surprise, and keeping my eyes on the prize, what I really want to do is to give all my love and kisses to you. So you don't get me wrong, if I could do it all over again, no, I won't go out on a limb. I'll do it over you. But then my signature is I know where I belong. Although not straight-laced, I keep my hands to myself, always walk a straight line. Me, I know my place. Yet there's no getting over it. I'm a crazy fool. Crazy fool for such a pretty face. And
Wonderful read, Bobby. And, you know, I liked it. You know, it had a great flow to it. It got a little choppy here or there, but that was besides the point. But, you know, it's all about, you know, falling in love with that pretty face and being the fool for that pretty face. You know, he falls right into line for that pretty face. So, well done. Thank you, Bobby, for reading that. What did you think of it?
I liked it. It was genuine. It had the virtue of being just totally out there without reservation. And this may seem a little odd, but what I especially liked about it is it was not gender specific.
Right.
So a girl could be a girl, or a guy could read it to a guy, or a girl could read it to a guy, or a guy could read it to a girl. It had a universal appeal to it, which I think is really tricky to do with poems, and this one did it quite well.
Absolutely, I agree. Great point, Bobby.
That I'd rather have my way with women, but that means nothing.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so I'm going to post the next one here. This is by LG Mace. It's called His Daring Lips. We stand, face each other, only inches apart. His physical nearness sets fire to my racing heart. He takes my face gently into his masculine hands, and the earth below me rumbles like an earthquake in distant lands. All my senses are filled to overflowing when he lays his lips passionately on mine. My senses lose their direction, way beyond reality's time. Sensations, passion, want, magnetic pull, their roaring fire go haywire beyond any feelings trips. I'm caught up in the signature of his daring lips. Wow, that was kind of spicy, eh, Bobby? Had a little fire in it.
That was great.
A little bit.
Yeah, but it was.
Had a little fire
in
it.
It was subtly erotic, though. You know, it was not in your face. It was subtly seductive, and very, very passionate, and it had the sense of that you get, especially with a first kiss. My senses lose their direction, way beyond reality's time. Sensations, passion, want, magic pull, and certainly. The first time, especially if it's unanticipated, when someone kisses you, I mean, it's easy to feel the floor disappearing from under you.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I'm going to take a quick look in the studio here and make sure we don't have people holding. And we do.
Hey.
We have a caller.
Oh, hey. Hoorah.
Hello, Thomas. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. You know me.
So, how are you? I mean, are you able to hang out?
Oh yeah, I'm here. I just got on, but I'm probably going to be here at 12, so we'll be all good.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Glad to hear it, and have you here. Okay, I'm going to post the next link here.
Okay.
And if you wouldn't mind, please, Bobby.
Oh, not at all. Okay.
Hello, Bobby.
Hey, hi, it's the 703 area code show.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And Virginia has a strong showing, yes.
So we have a presence.
Kind of major statue.
Oh, we have T. Perry 898 giving us the kiss. With no recourse to reason, lips of scarlet lead the way. I'm poisoned with desire by your smile on display. Can offer no resistance. Me, I'm just not strong enough. So speaks this willing victim who's a prisoner of love. The touch of silken honey, tantalizing. Soft, sweet, shall steal my faith, make our honeymoon complete. Our tongues shall dance a tango. Love is bursting at the seams, imprisoned in emotion by the lady of my dreams. Eternity shall beckon while I melt in ecstasy beyond the shores of reason. Hearts are destined to be free. Heartbeat of emotion brings an avalanche of bliss. The doors to heaven open. In the magic of your kids. End poem.
That was a wonderful read, Bobby. And, you know, that was a touching poem, you know, about being held captive by the facts, its facets of love and the beauty therein and all the, you know, dance a tango. Love is bursting at the seams, imprisoned in emotion by the lady of my dreams. Eternity shall melt. Eternity shall beckon while I melt in ecstasy. Beyond the shores of reason, hearts are destined to be free. You know, when you're with somebody, you can be together at the same time as being free, set free by that person. You're both setting each other free. into the universe of love. What did you think of the poem, Thomas?
Well, I think you covered a lot of the major points there, but I like the opening line, with no recourse to reason, lips of scarlet lead the way. I definitely want you to read for the next one. I think he gets really sensuous with such lines like, I'm poisoned with the desire by your smile on display. A touch of silken honey, tantalizing, soft and sweet. Beyond the shores of reason, hearts are destined to be free. It's a really romantic, sensuous adventure. He definitely goes out of his way to make sure that you recognize that this is a kiss that is like no other. Very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby, what did you think?
I thought it was very romantic, especially since I'm looking at his little blurb under his name. It says, retired ex-postman of 38 years, married one beautiful wife, two lovely daughters. And here's a man who is, and romantic poetry from a guy is just, it melts your heart. And here's a guy who is just crazy in love with the gal that he picked and is still married to, which is just deeply romantic and delightful and very touching.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Bobby. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Okay, I have the next link up, Thomas, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, here, let me hop over, bring it up. Give me a second. Come up. There we are. Okay. The Tempered Kiss by Myriad Dark. Your presence is like a somnolent shadow, and I crave your deepest aspect. Like water to a drowning man, I would breathe you in. Parched, I would seek sustenance from your lips. Should I chase your echoes and your fading perfume? Shifting lament coerced me with memories of your moistness and the shadowy cravings as I sought sanctuary in your kiss. Burned into me brand of white metal to char and burn. Why do you make me wait? I feel so strange with your aftertaste still on me. I want to explore those abysses of you, to revel through the destitution of your lips and the firestorm rage of your kisses, so I might burn and burn and burn while my soul is consumed in your smoke and curling heat. What is my purpose but to serve you, silenced and filled with want, to kneel, to bear a willing throat, my offerings tied to my aching body, your lips, my lifeblood, these passions of flesh and kind, of ours spent in monuments of interludes and being solicitous. I wandered in unending solitude and contemplation, dreaming of your lips and the space between each breath taken, tempering the heat of each kiss we take as our own. And poem.
Beautiful read, Thomas. That was wonderful. And, I really like the poem. You know, I mean, who hasn't just wanted to lay themselves out and bare their throat to, you know, the other, their partner, and, just be willing to accept that you might end right there. But I thought it was wonderfully written. You know, it had great... visceral connotations to it, and was definitely endearing and enchanting. What did you think, Bobby?
Subtly erotic, deeply romantic, quite the conflagration in the first three stanzas. I was afraid the poor poet was going to catch fire. but it does feel that way, you know, when you find someone, it's like eating one Pringles. It's just not enough. You can't just kiss that person once and be satisfied, you know. And the minute you stop kissing them, maybe seconds, and you just want another one, and you miss them already. So this is a very, very passionate, very sensual piece, and it has a very almost a classical flavor to it, like Shelley.
Right. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, this is one of those pieces that to me is delightful in the level of passion they're able to express without saying how passionate they're feeling, but instead demonstrating it with shifting laments coerce me with memories of your moistness. I feel so strange with your acetate still on me. I want to explore those abysses with you. While my soul is consumed in your smoke and curling heat, I just, the constant statement of passion. And yet, if you really look at it, there aren't a whole lot of, it's very simple in its own way, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I like the simplicity. The language is very clear and very clean, so it makes it all that much more sharp and direct. And so it comes across feeling very honest and very vibrant, very, very present in the immediate now, which I think does a whole lot to make it a lot stronger than it would be otherwise. Really a deftly handled poem by Myriad Dark.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. Okay, I'm posting the next link up. Oh, I'm going to grab it, I guess. Sorry, I'm just going to grab the link here. Post that to the group. There we go. This is called Light by Eric Herb. Like a beak that walks the forest, I search for the scent of her soul. She is mine to hunt, and I am hers to hold. Love not the way my hunger burns for you, world, but walk in the way I give you, my hand and my gold. The shelter that is my body and strength shall be known by your heart, and never shall we be apart. Give me your peace, and I shall be your guide. Lust shall be our credence, and strength shall our bond be named. End poem. Beautiful. That was a nice write. I really liked it. You know, it was concise and direct and to the point. You know, this shelter that is my body and strength shall be known by your heart, and never shall we part. Yeah, just a beautiful lines. What did you think, Bobby?
That was a very strong brevity. It was concise, very focused, very economical, right? And every time I say that, Laurent laughs. But it is. I mean, there's as Thomas likes to say, there were no wasted words in here. Very specific, to the point, but it still had carried a lot of passion.
I agree wholeheartedly, Bobby. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, if you look at the construction, I think it's really neat the way he handled it, because it is it's great brevity and it has a definite and clear intensity about it. But the opening, like a beast that walks the forest, I search for the scent of her soul, and she is mine to hunt, and I am hers to hold. The plot is before us. The whole message of what he is about is right there. And the ending is a summation. Give me your peace, and I shall be your guide. Lust shall be our credence, and strength shall our bond be named. And a very good entrance and very good ending. But what really makes the poem work, and I like this, it's a delightful, construction, is all right there in the center. You know, love not the way my hunger burns for your world. That's so nice and intense. And that whole middle stanza is really vibrant, alive, and definitely demonstrates this truly resounding level of passion and desire and love for this one person. I think it's kind of neat the way he does like a big nugget right in the center, you know, and the other two stands are nothing but frames to hold and make possible this one center verse. I think it's really nice, kind of very well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Thomas. It was a wonderful comment. And welcome, Frank, to the show.
Hello, my friends. Can you hear
me? How are you?
I'm doing all right. I had dropped. I don't know what happened. I had dropped. The phone was dropping me.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah, I'll try to stay on as much as I can.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. And, okay, Bobby, you're next in line to read. Please, and thank you. Hello, Bobby.
Yes. I was mutated. All righty. Firmest Kiss by Lyrica Speaking. If I do justice to this, she usually has a very powerful piece. Would not say a single word, not one peep, or make any gestures as our lips meet, locking together forever. I would devour the journeys uniting the roads to our romance, not ever receiving enough of the tender touch showered, subconsciously perusing every advance of your lips, an inseparable, intimate gift, exchanging eternity's desire, highs, as well as we kiss for life between you and I, interwoven, intangible, picturesque, forever kisses to come alive.
Beautiful read, Bobby, and what a beautiful write. You know, it's another straightforward and concise write. It doesn't dance around or beat around the bush. It gets straight to the point. What did you think of the write, Thomas?
I like the way she begins. I would not say a single word, not one peep, or make any gestures as our lips meet. That just shows an anticipation, a desire that is very vibrant and very alive and very intense as well as strong. And then the rest of it just becomes a description of a moment. To me, it's almost just that moment when the lips touch and everything makes itself known. And she's really done a really great job in just catching that moment, you know. And his lips, an inseparable, intimate gift, exchanging eternity's desired highs as we kiss the life between you and I, interwoven. I mean, it's just so rich. And she's done, in a really brief, tight, minimalist piece, she has done an excellent job of making that moment when they kiss everything. It's really astounding.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. And Frank, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought for a brevity, for actually, well, it's not really considered a brevity, but still, it doesn't have, it's not like home. And being that it's a very central, very structured piece, I agree it doesn't leave much to the imagination, but at the same time, I can say it does to a certain degree, because it does leave the essence of the poem in the centerpiece of the lips. And I like the way this poem just weaves the notion of the beauty of the lips there. I believe this is the first poem I was able to read tonight, so I'm imagining all these poems tonight are going to have a wonderful sense of sensuality in reference to the lips, and of course to lovers as well.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Thomas, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Let's flip this around here. Okay. Deontay Knight by Diana Sorensen. Forgive me if I mispronounce that. The Melly takes to drinking Jupiter's brooding oaky wines. His kisses fall on her breast like deep colored chestnut. Guarded by the dragons of habit, she lives around fairy gardens and buries her face in the white sheepskin of his bed sheets. Gods, ravish mortals like butchers. Jupiter's wine smells like game and sweet tobacco, and the coarseness of his touch crushes pretty violets. Harmonia's daughter is exteriorized by floating on a cloud of Chianti, codeine pills, and the sound of frogs. Cupid whispers words into Jupiter's inflamed mind, filled with violent desires. He demands that she moan for him. The chosen woman disobeys and instantly laments her folly. No longer resting in silky dark berries, she is consumed by the cloven tongues of his fire, flame-born and thrown out as a spark. The Melly reigns in Hecate's dark moon, shadowed by the pellucid pale pond to be hidden. The rose and the lotus are woven into the mire of everyday life. End poem.
Wow, beautifully read. And, you know, she has an author's note saying, Sauvignon's wine formed the red Italian wine grape variety. Sauvignon derives its name from the Latin sanguigili, literally translated as the blood of Jupiter. Sauvignon is most frequently used as a blend in Chianti. Carmignano, Morella now.
Yeah.
Although also gained some reputation as the sole component of Brunel de Montalcino and Rossi de Montalcino. Chino. some definitely Italian
Montalcino.
Names going on in that
Montalcino. Rosso
Montalcino.
Di Montalcino.
That's right, Bobby.
There you go, Bobby.
Show your hair.
There you go.
Next time, but throw the Italian at me or Frank.
Yeah.
Not Italian. I'm not Italian.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can pronounce it.
Oh, yes, I can. That's true.
I'm not either. I'm not either.
No, yes.
Right, but, yeah, it takes a certain twang to get that right. But, you know, the right is definitely engaging, and it pulls you in from the beginning through this scenery that she paints. And then, you know, it gets into, you know, the deep, dark sensuality of life and carries on from there to the cloven tongues of his fire, his flame born and thrown out as a spark. Summitly rained and hectates what dark moon shadows by the pellucid, lucid pale pond to be hidden. The rose and the lotus are woven into the mire of everyday life. You know, very haunting at the end there, but just a beautiful rite. What did you think, Bobby?
I always enjoy Diane's verses because she punctuates them. She peppers them with Greek mythology, which I always enjoy. And she's got a reference to Semele in here, who is the daughter of Cadmus and Harmonia. And one of the many, many, many mortal women that Zeus lay with. And Pan couldn't keep it in his toga. He couldn't keep it in his toga.
Oh, there we go.
She's made reference to Harmonia's daughter and Hecate, who is the earth goddess. She's got some great Greek references in here, and which I like the way she laces them in with the Chianti. You know, the floating. The Harmonia's daughter is exteriorized by floating on a cloud of Chianti. Cupid whispers words into Jupiter, who is also she's got the mythology going very strongly throughout this, and that's why I enjoy her rites, because they have a lot of texture to them, and her use of language is always quite good, colorful, and well versed. She's got some great references. Guarded by the dragons of habit, she lives around fairy gardens and buries her face, white sheepskin of his bed sheets. What great visual imagery. What great metaphor. Really enjoy her work. And this is just another example of very fine writing.
Wonderful comment, Bobby. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I have to echo those comments there, but I have to say that I myself is a fan of hers. I did a collab with her once, and she just blew my mind away with the metaphors. Just her writing is very exquisite. I think what's so unique about it is it's admired as mysticism of mythology. In this case, Greek. She often goes into Egyptian, to Roman mythology, a bit of Norse, and so be it. But it's just so exquisite. I'm always impressed by her writing. It's very unique. It's very particular, and it's very, very poetic. I think it's a bit abstract, but once you understand the language, you know, in its entirety, and you have time, of course, to understand the meaning of the poem, then you start, every one of her poems then start to make sense to you. You start to feel, you know, what she's trying, you know, what she's conveying in these poems here. And there is something that she conveys. I know with this messenger, she is very much into mythology. So this is always just a forte when she makes this piece. It's just a beautiful piece. It's well deserving of, my opinion, of a front page.
Great, great observation. You're absolutely right about her style. There's a consistency to her style that if you if you make a habit of reading her verse, you can see that thread throughout. Great, great observation.
Indeed.
Excellent comments, both of you. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, I like the simile take to drinking, and Jupiter's brooding oaky wine. The drops falling on her, spilling from the cup onto her front, become kisses like deep-colored chestnuts. And you get this feeling that you're walking into a drunken illusion, and then guarded by the dragons of habit, she lives around fairy gardens and buries her face in the white sheepskins of his bed sheets. We're taken farther into this illusion, dream quality, and it goes on. I love that God's ravish mortals like butchers, because it's so tremendously full of like the DTs of someone who's really had far more than they should. And she keeps that sense of it being a world created by inebriation and other health, when you get by floating on a cloud of Chianti, floating pills, and the sound of frogs. I just then she just takes it into the whole story of the ravishing, and finally in the last lines, I just love to be hidden. The rose and the lotus are woven into the mire of everyday life. So no matter how grand our illusions, and no matter how filled we are with a sense of godhood, greatness, wonder, and passion, in the end, we have to confront our own everyday humanness. I think it's rather stunning.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Thomas. Okay, Frank, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. Is this the one with lyrically incline your lips?
Yeah.
All right. I'll give a stab here. It was a more orthodox position tonight, but I'll give it a stab here. Your lips is like home. I beat myself up daily for letting you slip through my fingers. It's been so long since we kissed, but kissing you again is doing what I'm supposed to be. I can still feel your lips from the other day, inviting me to play, to stay, and make you my home again. Life isn't fair, but your lips make me aware of the truth. Love is a vessel, and your lips are the ships conveying your love to its destination, giving the heart its justification, filling my soul with elation. I can't get your lips off my mind. In the book. Sorry, I'm
beautiful.
Not so happy tonight. I'm sorry.
That was a beautiful read, right? But yeah, it was a wonderful write. You know, I like the way she progresses through the poem. You know, with rhyme intermingled, and the whole message of her love for his lips is quite beautiful. What did you think, Bobby? Hello, Bobby.
Unmute.
I'm doing
probably
it again. Yes,
yeah,
I am. That's for being polite, damn it. I like the way this is constructed. I like the internal rhyming. I like the assonance. But it's very subtle. Lips, ships, as she's got destination, justification, elation, great assonance and internal rhyming. And the message, very, very clear, very concise, and very sensual. Without being flowery, it's not florid, and it's not tawdry. It's just very, very romantic, very passionate, and very straightforward rhyme. Very nice piece.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Thomas, what did you think?
I enjoyed this because there's such a, to me, innocent sincerity. She's very carefully wrote it all down to just the way it feels when they kiss. And you're right, Bobby. There's nothing florid. There's no great, you know, demonstration of passion. It's just this nice sort of simple recognition, awakening, you might say, to the fact that, you know, when I kiss you, everything's right. It's okay. It's just where I want to be. And it just comes together so nicely that its simplicity, it's almost naiveness, so which really stresses the feeling.
Fantastic comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I have to say that there's another example of a beautiful beauty here, sensual, seductive. This whole notion here of the remembrance, somewhat to a certain extent, the reverence of a kiss. One that when we think of a lover, whether past or present, it is the trademark of what is passion, the kiss itself, what initiates the whole foreplay. And so, and I like that the fact that you brought it in this poem here, or the poet makes that, or poet is, it's giving that sense there that though time is elapsed, the kiss, you know, is always remembered. You know, that's very striking. You know, I found that very, very just, I was drawn to that simplicity there, you know, and thought, oh, it was a great, great show. Boom.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I have the next poem up. This is by Elaine Seven, and it's called Palatable Painting. Your palette is set with ruby and scarlet. The white canvas emits freshness of petrichor. When the first dip befalls in the very corner, the electric lightning strikes clear spring day, sky. The earth wakening, hear cuckoos chirps as the fire, as the fine smokes brush along the borderline. Strokes brush along the borderline. Two crimson territories nod by silk worm, succumb to tender invasions, loosing defense. Moist breeze sweeps along, velvet poppy petals, gentle drizzle and sprinkle, cast in quietude, steeping through each molecule and pore, savoring strawberry cotton candy and paloma, suspended at thinner altitude, exchanging sweet breaths in their contented sighs. Metal mist rises in the air and foam. That was beautifully painted. I liked it. You know, that was, it was definitely metaphoric and very deep. You know, you can feel the emotions surfacing under the, just bubbling under the surface in this bright, and, you know, savoring sweet strawberry cotton and paloma surrounded it, to sort of suspended in thinner altitude, exchanging sweet breaths in their contented thighs. Metal mist rises in the air. Yeah, just beautiful imagery. What did you think, Bobby?
I like the use of metaphor. Great word paintings. The poet's got lots of references. Without directly mentioning, two crimson territories gnawed by silkworm, and then she's got savoring strawberry cotton candy and paloma. Great references. Moist breeze sweeps along velvet poppy petals, and we mention poppies. Usually, everyone thinks red, and so great references here to color and to texture. Very, very nicely done. A very rich piece.
Fabulous comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, I agree. The title does completely describes the poem in the sense that from your palette is set with ruby and scarlet, the white canvas emits precious petrichor. When the first dip befalls the very corner. I just, from the very beginning, you're getting the sense of something being painted and described. And then the colors she chooses, the imagery that she uses to reflect the colors she's choosing, it all just works together so that you really do feel like you're just caught up in lines that work like brushstroke after brushstroke to paint an incredibly beautiful picture. Really very, very well done.
Fantastic comment, Thomas. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I thought the imagery here was spiffing. It was excellent. I just really enjoyed the whole notion there of, you know, of using a painting in the background there and using the palette, the brush, and just, you know, the artistic notion there of creating your own artistry is what we poets as well do with our poems. This is something that really made me think and conjure imagery in my mind. It's very striking, and it's a piece that's also sentient as well. The elements of it's sensuous as well, in the sense that it offers a bit of sensuality with the whole notion there of the palette. I thought the poem, although it wasn't long, it really was especially a very, very nice ride. I really enjoyed the token nature of the background on this PP in a way it was inspired by that. Even the palette with the painting as well, so I thought it was good. Spiffy.
Absolutely, I agree. Thank you, Frank. And Bobby, you're up next, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, would I mind? No. Ask me to dust the tables. Yeah, fine.
There you go.
Oh my God, it's me. It's me. Oh my God,
Entertain us now.
Oh, no, press. You've heard this one before.
I have. All right.
All righty. Well, let me open it here.
Does that make it less dangerous somehow?
I'll drop a heavy hint. Well, this was for a contest, and one of the things I challenged myself to do, the contest was for, I believe the prompt was lips. And I challenged myself to write a verse about lips without using the word. So here we go. Lost in the vermilion labyrinth. Face to face, eye to eye. Heat rising in the gaze between. He watches her tongue wander across those two soft, warm pillows of flesh as they caress the rim of her glass. Crimson liquid leaves the chalice, traveling the same path he longs to follow. His desire to press his mouth against the moist pink Cupid's bow, irresistible. From sweet abduction to delicious osculation, breath exchanged across nerve endings ablaze as the floor beneath them vanishes. Hands draw one another near in an attempt to keep from plunging into the abyss. Doors to breath are sealed against each other. A breathed sigh, a whispered moan barely escapes with the same sweet message that might awaken the sleeping beauty or raise Snow White from the dead. This was a kiss like no other, a pressure divine. Forbidden ground crossed, the vermilion borders have joined with fierce intention and now are one. Soft, serious thieves linger, ever leaving their mark. And with the taste of her on his tongue, all other kisses wane in this perfect symphony. Emotion and passionate vibration. Their perfect night has built to delicate union this exquisitely delicious concurrence, eternally tattooed in their memories. She, endlessly captive of his desire, and he, forever lost in her vermilion labyrinth. End poem.
Beautiful job, Bobby. Excellent job. You know, I remember this poem and how essential and seductive it is. You know, it's very calm and mellow and enchanting. You know, it's hypnotic almost. when you read through it. It's just beautiful. What did you think, Thomas?
Bobby, you love to dance with language in ways that just make it delightful to watch and to listen to and to see how you paint with them as you go about your course and tell the tale that you want to tell and take us all up in the magic of your words. I think I'm quite impressed. I'm delighted by it. From crimson liquid leaves, the chalice traveling the same path he longs to follow. Now, there's enough suggestion there to last a lifetime. the doors to breath are sealed against each other. A breathed sigh, a whispered moan barely escapes. The same sweet message that might awaken the sleeping beauty or raise Snow White from the dead. Oh my goodness, even Disney might blush at this one. This was a kiss like no other, a pressure divine. I thought you did a delightful and astounding job. And I'll let you stop suffering at this point and leave it alone.
Thank you. Thank you much.
Frank, what did you think?
Well, I don't know if I can top that, but I thought it was I wrote my comments here. I'll read what I wrote, and I'll add a little bit there. What I wrote basically in my comments were it was a central masterpiece of stiff introduction, remarkable usage of fiction, it was mesmerizing. The usage of language here, as was the case of, with Bobby, is it's always admirable. She has this way of writing that can seduce you with just words, you know, in the way she describes things, you know, it's always, it has that poetic essence to it. You know, she uses very effectively, you know, whether it's mythology, whether it's romance, or whether it's, you know, et cetera. She always brings, you know, just an incredible set of lines, and this is no exception. This was a fantastic write. Very central, of course.
And with that, Frank slides off of his chair.
There you go. I'm using a word here from Lou. I'm trying to be tamed here.
Why? I change now. With all the good natured kidding you've taken from us, I'm surprised how restrained you are.
Oh yeah. I'm very patient. I've learned that stuff. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you both for your comments.
I was just reading through the comments, and I like Louise. Oh, my, so rich and sensual imagery. One could almost taste those moist kisses. So sexy, it almost got me smoking a cigar. This was so mouthwatering and delicious. Yeah. Okay, Thomas, I have your write-up whenever you're ready. Thank you, Bobby.
Okay. Ontological dreams. She is caught in her fantasy as the mists melt and reveal. Fingers linger, spelled in wonder, the magic created in flesh, her arc and ache. She is consumed, touch, filled with wonder, blessings. She spirals. Ecstasy becomes full of echoes, the splendor and joy his touch brings. She sings out the blossom, passion. The river fills the desert. Her desire reaches upward to greet the thrust. Bliss caught in rhythm paces a hymn called grace. Her nipples full. sensitive, seek to be suckled by his articulate lips. Each one blossomed in the house of his moist tongue. She twists and turns, yearns to be full, completed by craft that sails her rivers. A deep adventurer discovers the source her passion's gifts have created. She rises and sings. She yields, feels the command to rise again, her body and urn waiting to be filled, wax meeting at the heat of his lust, the seal, passion's watery, water's fiery, concentrates full of this wondrous fire, love. She arcs one last time. Yes, here is man revealed, shorn of fleshy vessel, his spirit magnificent, holy, envelops her, blesses the fruits of her sex. She may fold her wings, come to rest, feel the warmth, the embers in the stillness. He awakens to the bare flesh, the rich cellular heat radiates upon her, allows pieces blossom, become serene. He is her.
Wow, fantastic read and excellent, right? You pull us through the storyline right from the very beginning. She is caught in her fantasy as the mists melt and reveal. And then it just goes deeper from there, through the art of passionate encounter and melding the two into one. Just a beautiful, right, Thomas?
Oh, thank you.
What did you think? Absolutely. What did you think, Bobby?
Would guess me first. I'm sorry. I was lighting up cigarettes.
You're about fair play, Bobby. Go for it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Excuse me. While I resituate myself, I slid out of the chair.
The bone turned to jelly.
This is quite a passionate piece. The language is I'm gonna give you the ultimate compliment. This reminds me of very much of Frank's writing, and it's colorful use of texture and flavor and aroma, and word pictures, very passionate. It almost feels a bit voyeuristic to read it, but it is so sensual, so deeply erotic. But you know what captured me? The very last three words. He is her. That to share your partner's ecstasy in such a way that you feel like you're part of them, that is a truly remarkable joining. And those last three words really I thought were a superb capturing of the entire act of lovemaking. So it's a beautiful piece. It's sensual, it's erotic without being tawdry or lascivious. It's beautifully written, very nice. Like I said, the last three words just really captured me.
Well, wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I have to say this was a very, very central piece. It's very seductive, but it was very poetic. This is just a beautiful poem you wrote here. You know, get beyond the elements of its sensuality there, you know, eroticism. You know, just the whole imagery of being with that person there in the moment, you know, whether it's in foreplay or whether it's, you know, in the act itself. There is that beauty there of two persons there, making love, and you did such an effective way of conveying a storyline that, you know, each and every line just was imbued, just enriched with one image, you know, after another. And it was just, it was remarkable, right? And I have to say, it's better than my writing. I am one who will always say, I don't really write poetry. I just write lyrics, which to my friend, our true poet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great comment, Frank. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Thomas?
I mean, this is just, I went through a period where I really abhorred most of what I was reading in terms of what was seen as sexy poetry, and wanted to catch a great deal of the sensuality, the feelings, the spirituality in the whole thing. And this really, I love the fact that Bobby loved the last three words, because this really was written to give those words reason. I don't know the way to put it. It, you know, the he is her, after all this, says everything.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I
agree. Wonderful job, Thomas. Thank you. Okay,
thank you.
I have your poem up whenever you're ready.
All right, my friends. Well, my piece was inspired by, of course, the Purple Woman for Prince. The song Kiss, which I'm telling everyone, certainly you've heard that. It's been a while, but I call my poem Purple Kiss, and it goes like this. Just one moment here. All right. Mi amor, your two little lips are the calmness of my painting, and my sensual strokes are like a brush of Picasso. Your kisses are my sultry fertility of clown pleasures, dripping like maple syrup of a hot, seductive taste. The surface enraptures me within the gentle shiver, the soft skin in warm creases are my sweet nectar. The shade on my pretty plums to suck fluid juice. Their attraction seduces me to ungloss your sexy lipstick. The moonlight then speaks a tempting tongue of sensuality. The night reveals the sparks of pheromones to purple fireflies. The moisture of the rain releases its erotic dew at the dance of sweat. All the exotic bits of the tear and purple sheets of our exploration. I want to sip from the wine and intoxicate me with its flavor, drench in provocative texture, tickling me like tender paisley silk, and plunge deep into the ocean of my insatiable thirst night, satisfying the urge of my lips to refresh them in lust. Behind mystery of the Venetian velvet curtains, you are forbidden, fruit to my sinful rebel. The violet petals to my delicious desires undressed with the tasty touch of your luscious lips in purple kiss. Your kiss is a signature igniting the notes of a piano. Pretty baby, take me with you upon the purple skies of passion. Don't have to be rich, my girl. You don't have to be poor to rule my world. I just want your purple kiss to turn me on in the poem.
Beautiful read, Frank. Excellent write. You know, I really enjoyed the whole journey through your poem. You know, your tulip lips are like the canvas of my painting, and my sensual strokes are like the brush of Picasso. Your kisses are my sultry sea of profound pleasures, dripping like maple syrup. Seductive kiss. Yeah, just astounding, Frank. You know, I loved it. Beautiful, right?
Thank you very much, and I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank you for the contest. It was a great contest.
Yeah, I appreciate your entry and your calling. And Bobby, what did you think?
again, Frank's poetry is very strongly sensual and sensory, I should say, very strong sensory images, maple syrup, gentle shiver, sweet nectar, fluid juice, sexy lipstick, all wonderful, tempting tongue of sensuality, wonderful textures. You can feel and smell and taste and touch the verse. It's engaging. It draws you in. The storyline draws you along like a current. And I want to sip from their wine and intoxicate me with its flavor. Paisley silk, velvet, Venetian velvet curtains, all wonderful sensory images, very tactile. That's what I really love about your poetry. It is so layered in the senses, in appealing to the senses, and the fragrance and sight and sound and touch, aroma, all of them present, because that's what makes a complete experience in reading your pieces, is it touches all five senses. So this is beautifully written, very seductive, very sensual, subtly erotic piece, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, my dear.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Thomas, what did you think?
I love this verse. I want to sip from their wine and intoxicate me with its flavor, drenched in their provocative texture, tickling me like tender paisley silk, and plunge deep into the ocean of my insatiable thirst tonight, satisfying the urge of my lips to refresh them in your lust. That, to me, is the most intimate verse in here, because it really is where you put yourself right in front with all the passion, with all the immediacy. The rest leads up to this, before it, and what comes after is there, as if to say, these are what give it meaning, and this is how I like the world to work, and how I love to be touched and touching someone else. But that one verse, boy, that really zings with no doubts and no hesitation exactly how strong and passionate the feelings are. This is very, very sexy, very sensual, and very seductive. Beautifully done, Frank.
Well, I appreciate that, my friend. And with that note, I'm going to have to put it in for tonight. Gray, always a pleasure to be at your shows, your contests. And Bobby and Thomas, it's always great to share the airwaves with both of you, the three of you as well. Take care, my friend.
Well, you made my dream come true. I got to be surrounded by good-looking men tonight.
Well, there we go. I'll be the leftover afterwards. Take care.
Sonia Doro.
Buenas noches. Take care.
Have a good one, Frank. We'll talk to you later. Okay, so I've got the next poem up. This is by Stephen Hollins. It's called The Storm. When savage winds do blow and raging hearts do beat, lightning strikes ablaze, I take a front row seat. Chill clusters of white pall, hail pelts upon my head, sensual and immense, I pin her to the bed. Me, a marshmallow man, awed in knowing this, that the blue cosmic storm was started with a kiss. I liked it. You know, it was short and sweet and, you know, to the point. It really has a clear message in it. And I like the storm that's caused by a kiss. Beautiful, right? What did you think, Bobby?
I blinked. I missed it. It is a very very strongly worded brevity. It's got a lot of visual imagery in it that's very powerful. Savage winds blowing, raging hearts beat, a great comparison of the two. Chill clusters of white hail, sensual and intense, a marshmallow man. And interesting how we've gone from of savage winds and raging hearts and clusters of hail to marshmallows. That's quite the transition, but it's interesting and it's profound in the way that love has changed this person from being fierce and intense to being soft and gooey. So it's an interesting transition.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Thomas, what did you think?
I like how he starts it off with the when savage winds do blow, and the end of that first verse is, I take a front row seat, as if he's almost more of an observer than a participant. You know, the feeling that, you know, passion starts and he's still deciding whether he's going to participate fully and, you know, let go. And then the chill clusters of white hail pelt upon my head, sensually and intense. I pin her to the bed, almost as if he's trying to protect himself from the torrent of passion and from the intensity of the moment. So it doesn't surprise me. And I think it's kind of a good reflection of his own humility to call himself a marshmallow man, awed in knowing this, that the blue cosmic storm was started with a kiss. It's almost like he is just beginning to surrender at this point, because there's still just a little bit too much observation. I find it rather fascinating and a rather revealing piece of poetic work. Very well done.
Right. Well said. Thank you, Tom. Okay, Bobby, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh. I'm in the wrong screen here. Let me close a tab or two.
Trying to do six things at once again, huh?
I have the T-shirt. I am woman. Watch me multitask.
you sin in that way. Yes, I understand.
Let me tell you something. I hit the pinnacle of it one time. I was visiting my mom, and I'm sitting there in her kitchen. And she got irritated with me because I'm sitting there eating, reading, watching television, listening, talking to her, and cross stitching all at the same time.
Wow.
And she says, "You're not paying attention." I said, "Yes, I am." And I repeated her last comment to her, and it just irritated her all the more. And some of the things, because I'm ambidextrous. Also, I was in a meeting, went to one of those meetings where they hold you hostage so they feed you so they don't lose you. So I go dashing at their last minute and grabbed a plate of breakfast. And I sat down at the nearest round table, and I've got my notebook. I've got my spiral lab. I always used to take notes in a lab book because I hate lines. So here I am with my crosshatch lab book. In my lap, I'm taking notes with my right hand. I'm eating breakfast with my left hand. I look up, and the guy sitting directly across from me is staring at me. I said, "Is there something wrong?" He goes, "I've never seen anyone do that before." I said, "What, eat breakfast?"
Yeah.
He goes, "No." He says, "I've never seen anyone eat with one hand and take notes with the other." I said, "Well, now you have."
Yeah,
well. I said, "I do that quite regularly, and I do it. It just flummoxes people that I can eat with my left hand and write with my right, you know."
Yeah.
I'm ambidextrous. it's years of practice, and I do it with a lot of different things. So But it had some interesting results when you go for a mammogram, and the woman, the technician says, "Are you left-handed or right-handed?" I said, "I'm ambidextrous." And she stopped in dead and in mid-stride and turned and looked at me. She said, "In 17 years, no one's ever said that to me." I said, "You got to be shitting me." You
know? No kidding.
Yeah. I couldn't
believe
it either, but I am.
Most people are dominant to one side or the other, even
yeah.
if they can
yeah.
use both hands.
Yeah. The only thing I can't do with my left hand is eat with chopsticks. It just gets everywhere. But everything else I do with either hand. I write, I type, I fix radios. It doesn't matter. I can put a screwdriver in either hand and be fine. It's very handy. So, and enough about me and my quirkiness. Okay, we've got your kisses taste like rainbows. Ooh, by Betty Page. Bless her heart. Your kisses taste like rainbows. Your kiss was so sweet, all twisted, but not discreet, out in the middle of the street, cheering us on, a crowd on their feet. Your kiss was so sweet, pounding within my heart. How did we even start? Cupid must have struck us with a dart, and no one could break us apart, pounding in my heart. Under deep sapphire skies in the moonlight, your kiss was such pure delight. You knew how to kiss me so right, outside the bar, just after midnight, under deep sapphire skies in the moonlight. End poem.
Wonderful read. And I like the poem a lot, you know. I like to flow to it, you know. And I like the pounding with my heart repeated. And under deep sapphire skies in the moonlight repeated. And then everything in between. Cupid must have struck us with a dart. No one could break us apart. Just a wonderful, right? What did you think, Thomas?
Oh, sure reminds me of a little kid writing dirty poetry. it's just a there's this, like, smile. For me, anyway, when I'm listening to this going on all the way through, like, looking at, watching, like, she wrote it more so she could watch how you would respond to it than anything else. You know, there's just, like, this little devilish grin all over the place, pounding within my heart. How did it even start? Cupid must have struck us with a dart, and no one can break it apart, pounding within my heart. I mean, the playfulness in the language, and as seductive and as sensual as it is, the way that it's written just says, "I'm having fun. Are you?" I just delight in this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, wonderful comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Betty Bobby, what did you think?
Betty Bob too.
Well, I you know, I get confused too. What the hell? I liked it. It was more lighthearted than you normally see from Betty. Yeah, she's usually pretty intense, pretty sultry. Her poetry is pretty juicy. I mean, you read her stuff, you have to stand over a drop cloth. This is like Tom said, Tom, it's very, a lot of fun. It's lighthearted. It's sweet. It's playful, and that's usually not in the direction she goes. So I think this departure for her is wonderfully done, and the rhyming even adds to the fun. It's almost like limericks. Part of the fun of a limerick is the rhyming pattern, and I think this falls into the same category that she's got this wonderful and they're very simple rhymes, but like I said, very enjoyable, a lot of fun.
Great comment, thank you, Bobby. Okay, Thomas, I have the next write up if you wouldn't mind. Oh no, I don't have it up yet. Here we go.
Okay.
If you wouldn't mind, please.
No problem. All right. This is Rushed Kisses. Oh, by one of my favorite people, Lou Harrison. What hours do we really have to sway in saddle to label colors that have no name? I crane, lose my sight in simple hours when violet and rose haze stain us as the others. Surreal tint to our known skies. Such clouds can hold no lies, and swells that swim between swallow down currents, cut throat, naming the distance nothing, claiming our star's constellation. Only two can connect, follow the heat of eventide and sigh, for you are held afloat by affirmations of goddess blue. Mine is the moon, and yours is the shore. The tides rush to and fro. End poem.
Beautiful, right? I mean, beautiful read, Thomas, and an excellent read as well. It's very metaphorically rich and enchanting and endearing. I liked it a lot. The heat of eventide and sigh for you are held afloat by affirmations of goddess blue. Mine is the moon and yours is the shore, the tides that rush kisses to and fro. How beautiful is that? What did you think, Bobby?
I think it's very, very nicely done. Like you said, metaphor rich. And while I was listening to it, I was almost reminded of Shelley's piece, Love's Philosophy, where he does the same thing. He talks about rivers and fountains and the water and nature, and the sun clasps the earth and the moonbeams kiss the sea, and what are all these kissings worth if thou not kiss not me? And that's what it reminded me of, especially the last lines, the heat of eventide and sigh, for you are held afloat by affirmations of goddess blue, mine is the moon and yours is the shore, the tides rush kisses to and fro. It just was redolent of thoughts of Shelley to me, and it had that very classical feel to it. It's a very, very nicely done, very elegant poem.
So it was a fabulous comment, Bobby. And what did you think, Thomas?
Well, I really like the to me, the sensation of sort of a liquidness, the way it flows. What hours do we really have to sway in saddle, to label colors that have no name? And then the I crane, lose my sight in simple hours. The enjambment you use draws you from one line, from one verse into the next verse, and yet the enjambment also creates a sense of like that eye crane. All of a sudden, you have this sense of the heron standing in the water, waiting, and there's this sense of stillness in the passion that makes it all that much more divine and spiritual, because there is a sense of both being really present and being apart without being separate, observer without being uninvolved, and it grows as you move through it, and swells that swim between swallow down currents, cut throat, naming the distance nothing. And all of a sudden, you know, you can feel the coming together, the passion, the way we have become liquid and blended. I find this, the metaphor is incredibly sensual, really rich in the way they allow you to sort of sense them without having to necessarily understand them, to feel them without necessarily having to give them a name. Very rich, very difficult to do the things that she's done so well in this piece, and a delight to have read.
You're right. There's no requirement for analysis. And pointing out the enjambment made me realize that the use of enjambment made the piece itself simulate the ebb and flow of the water in the tide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Beautiful. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Udo, and he has a SoundCloud or a YouTube.
I miss you, baby. All the while I would smile when you greeted me that way. I could hold the line and say I'm fine forever. I'd lay that the stormy weather
Well, that was a wonderful take on I'm Still Missing You by Aerosmith. I really like it. It was wonderful, wonderful job, Ludo. I love the guitar in it as well. And your lyrics just, they went par for par with the song. And I thought it was just beautifully done. What did you think, Bobby?
I agree. I immediately had one of those really annoying memories, as you probably know. I know like the blog maybe that I do. I can't help it. But when he started, immediately was to it. I knew the tune. I said, "Wait a minute, that's Aerosmith," and it's I don't want to miss a thing. And his adaptation, his lyrics suited the melody quite well, and the storytelling was excellent, as is always Ludo's work. But this was a great fit for that particular melody. Not easy to do, I really enjoyed it. I couldn't help thinking about the Aerosmith song, but still, it was a great adaptation. I really liked it. Very clever.
Fantastic comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Thomas, what did you think?
I thought it delightful. I excuse me. His ability to produce lyrics that keep you involved and delighted is a definite skill, and this one didn't let me down in any way whatsoever. I just enjoyed it.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Thomas. Okay, so I've got the next piece up, and this is by me, so I will read this. This is called The Darkness of Our Kiss. I gaze upon the plush liquid velvet of your scintillating mouth, smooth, sultry lips, surging rapture, burning desires to drink your kiss, course molten through my veins, swelling waves of scent and taste, filling oceans of my imagination, gazing into the ether of your eyes, fingertips tracing contours of your mouth, gliding oh so softly away upon the silky flesh of your fevered cheeks. My wedded kiss lands lusciously, delicately, parting your heavenly gates. Tongue slides in deep to taste the essence of your minerals, growing diamonds inside the darkness of our kiss. End poem. What did you think, Bobby?
I think you don't read your stuff nearly as much as you ought to. That's what I think. I think our host ought to read his stuff a whole hell of a lot more, because you write very well, and we get this teasing little sample every once in a while, but you've got a beautiful piece here that's got great visual imagery, very sensory, very sensual. Plush liquid velvet. Now, what a great descriptor. Coarse molten through my veins. I mean, very, very sultry, very, very almost incendiary, swelling waves of scent and taste, filling oceans of my imagination. Great, again, great visual imagery, great metaphor. It's suggesting a vastness there. Then gazing into the ether of your eyes, again getting lost in this person. You've allowed yourself to basically be engulfed by a presence here, and you're totally consumed and delighted to do so, or delighted to be so. Very, very nicely done.
Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate it. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, I like how quickly you guide us into the passion, you know, the burning desire to drink your kiss, course molten through my veins, filling waves of scent and taste, filling oceans of my imagination. And yet then you stop right in here in the center and give us a very clear, definite fact, in a sense, you know, and a very clear fingertips tracing contours of your mouth. And it's so physical and so immediate that it takes all the emotion that has been described and allowed to grow like a wave to suddenly become very real because of that one textural moment of concrete action. Then, you know, then you quickly return. But then again, you come with my wedded kisses lands lusciously. My wedded kiss lands lusciously, delicately parting your heavenly gate, becoming, again, more focused. I like the way you move through this. So that when we hit that last line, growing diamonds inside the darkness of our kiss, the metaphor just blossoms so nicely at the finish that it holds the whole poem in it. Very, 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 very well done. And Bobby's right. We need to read more of your stuff.
Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate that. Okay, Bobby, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please. Hello, Bobby.
You're going to stop asking me if I'm mine eventually.
Hello, Bobby.
Okay. We have Passionate Kiss by Chuck 17. Long blonde hair and ruby lips tempting me with a passionate kiss, heart beating faster than an addict on drugs. A habit I can't shake. I just want more. Breathless, watching your every move. Drawn closer for another kiss. I can't take much more of this. Sinfully intoxicating as your dress hits the floor. I want more, just a little bit more. The moonlight dances upon your skin, and once again I'm drawn in by your beauty. I share my lips with each curve of your body. I want more, just a little more of you. And home.
Great job, Bobby. Excellent read. And this is definitely a powerful little brevity as well. Breathless, watching your every move, drawn it close for another kiss. I can't take much more of this. Simply intoxicating as your dress hits the floor. I want more, just a bit more. And, the need and the want is very clear in this. And, you know, the pull of the addiction is surreal. And what did you think, Thomas?
Well, I really like the way he used I just want more, because one of the things that one of my mentors told me early on in writing poetry was that when you use the repeated phrase, it either adds intensity to the poem or it grows in meaning so that what it means at the beginning is only part of all that it means in the end. And that it has to become sort of the spine upon which the poem hangs. And I really like the way he went from like a habit I can't shake, I just want more, to I want more, just a little more, you know. You appear to be giving me everything, but I know there's more. And then in the very end, I want more, just a little more of you, it has become a statement of how thoroughly drowning in her he has become. And I really like the way he used it and how he let it grow in me. Very, very well done.
Great comment. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby, what did you think?
I thought this was a very there's an innocence about this piece of purity. It's the approach is totally without guile. The writer is totally besotted by this person. Like a habit I can't shake. I just want more. Completely besotted. And they want, and they get a little more, and they want more. And again, it's like eating one Pringles. You can't do it. I share my love with each curve of your body. I just want more. And Thomas is right. You know, when you repeat a line, it adds emphasis. It gives gravitas to what the line is saying. And then he concludes it by, I want more, just a little more of you. And then he defines it, sharpens it clearly, and leaves it at that. So while this is a very sensual piece, it is unabashed in its adoration of the person. I just want more of you. I just want to be part of you. I want to be with you. It's like the last three words of Thomas's poem. He is she, and that's what he wants. He wants more of a part of her.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, thank you, Bobby. Okay, Thomas, I have the next write up if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. The first kiss. Nascent lovers, we vie for the same oxygen as your puckered lips induce mine reciprocally. Vaulted to a celestial frame of respite, my lips part eagerly. Your tongue tap, tap, tap. Expectantly requesting access to where mind mingles too, and we sway. A poem by Dances with Words.
Wonderful read, thank you. And, you know, this is another beautiful little brevity. It pulls you in from the beginning with Nascent Lovers. We vie for the same oxygen as your puckered lips induce mine reciprocally. Just a beautiful right? And then I like the knock, knock, knock type of tap, 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 expectantly requesting access to where mine mingles too, and we sway. I liked it. What did you think, Bobby?
I think it's the brevity in the hands of the right poet is like the short story in the hands of someone like Ray Bradbury or Stephen King, and just with an economy of words, they are able to express so clearly feelings, actions, just surroundings. And this is from the beginning, Nascent Lovers. Just the first two words, we vie for the same oxygen. The first stanza, I mean, it's you're grounded in it. You know where it's coming from, and you suspect you know where it's going, and you're proven right in the last stanza. And the last three words, as you're kissing, how often have you kissed someone and felt like you were lifting off? You were just leaving the ground. And we sway, and that really just epitomizes just being lost in that particular action. I think it's captivating.
Wonderful comment, thank you, Bobby. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, I was sort of focused on that italicized centered piece because it's really upon which the other two verses balance upon so nicely. As you vaulted to a celestial frame of reference, my lips part eagerly. It's the whole sense of being in the moment, but at the same time feeling like this is one of the greatest adventures I've ever been. You know, that first kiss, that the wonder of how all of this stuff that's happening is like just mind-boggling. And it makes the third verse just that much more intense and that much more fitting, the last line, "And we sway." I thought it was, for a piece of brevity in 40 words, he brought a whole frame of reference, Kit and Kaboodle, right to the party, you know, hits nail on the head kind of thing. Well done.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. Okay, I have the next right here. This is by Daniel Ricketts, and it's called "A Telling Kiss." A telling kiss that never tells. Tulips unfurl, red petals soft. A guarded leaf falls gently down. New blades arise in moistened soil. A whispering wind sways every branch. Twigs reaching out to test sweet dew. Your soft red lips arouse it all. End poem. I liked it. I like the picture he painted here. You know, it's definitely a brevity, but he gets a lot across in this brevity. A telling kiss that never tells. Tulips unfurl, red petals soft. A guarded leaf falls gently down. And then, you know, your soft red lips arouse it all. Just beautiful. What did you think, Bobby?
Bobby.
All the references are very specific, very tender. Whispering wind, twigs reaching out to test sweet dew, guarded leaf, tulip for very, very delicate, very new, very unguarded, very vulnerable. And all of these things, your soft red lips arouse it all. So the muse's soft red lips evoke all of this tender and vulnerable response from nature. And it's a very, it's a beautiful brevity. It says a lot without saying much. Again, very economical. Use of words, great visual imagery.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Thomas, what did you think?
Oh, Bobby's stolen everything I want to say. I enjoy the tenderness and the intimacy of the nature-type imagery metaphors in the center lines. Because that makes that last couplet, your soft red lips arouse it all, so much more tender, so much more poignant. And sometimes it's a great demonstration of how sometimes it's not just what you say, but how you frame it and place it within the poem. And for a last line, that's a great one because, well, you could use it at the beginning. The way he uses it at the end says so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Thomas. That was a wonderful comment. And Bobby, I have the next write-up, please.
All righty. We have "Sensual Kiss" by Dragon Sorceress. sensual kiss, adult. Capturing his face with my hands, trace his contours, fingertips brush. Eye contact made your linger, you linger on lips. Lean in seductively. Smile sensually, savor his lips. Passion now flowing, one karma kiss. Luxuriate, lock lips. Moment time terminates. Intense impulse, you've claimed his heart. End poem.
That was a beautiful read. And, you know, beautiful write as well. You can feel the passion that is between these two as they come together to lock lips and she cleans his heart. I thought it was just beautiful. What did you think, Thomas?
Well, I like the opening line, capture his face with my hands, trace his contours, fingertips brush. The focus on the hands and the face make it very personal and immediate. And then as she moves through the actions, when we come to the last one, moment time terminates, intense impulsive, you cling to his heart. All of a sudden in those last three lines, we've gone from very clear physical action to suddenly becoming overwhelmed almost, or caught in a torrent and flooded away. The passion of the moment, however you want to look at it, has suddenly become something much more than just the physical action. And I think she's in a very brief, tight piece. I think she's brought that about very, very well.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate that. And I'm just going to finish posting this up here. There we go. Okay, well, we have 3 minutes left, so I think we can probably get one more. Try to squeeze in another one here. Okay, Thomas, if you would mind, please, when you see the link.
Okay. Yeah, what is up here? Okay. Cherry Lipstick Leaving by E. L. Laird. Cherry flower spreading on silken down of midsummer like maple leaves at carmine dawn of autumn falling upon a carpet of gold. At this blossom festival, scents of burgeoning pistil are heavy as cherry bloom on warm April air, though morning brings a premature rain pregnant May. Lipstick shades of crushed petal is leaving lips or skin of thigh or tangled curls and colors of two, a heady separation.
Wonderful read. And, beautiful read, Thomas. And, you know, that's a delightful poem, full of the imagery of nature and, you know, and then intermingling with the physicality of, you know, human beings, you know, lipstick and shades of crushed petal, leading lips to thigh or tangled curls and colors of two, a heady separation. Just beautifully done. What did you think, Bobby? Hello, Bobby.
Oh, Bobby.
My alarm clock. Sorry.
What?
Sorry about that.
Did she get...
I forgot. I'm sorry about that. I will make it brief and expeditious. I really like the visual imagery. Evokes a lot of color. Carmine, dawn of autumn, falling upon carpets of gold, cherry flower, cherry bloom, you get, and the phrase premature rain pregnant May. I love that phrase. That is so evocative. And then it goes into, like you said, the physicality, which I think is very, it captures you with just a few words. So it's very nicely written, very nicely done.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was lovely. I love the use of the colors, the way she set up each verse to capture its own aspect of the moment. Just very, very lovely.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And thank you both for joining me to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, folks. Thank you for coming out tonight and hanging with me. I appreciate you both.
Pleasure.
My
Thank
pleasure.
You much.
Virginia has to represent.
Catch you on the other side, Thomas.
Yep, take care.
All right.
Ciao.
Good night, guys. Ciao.